You're listening to the weekend podcast of Palm Valley Church. We hope this message encourages you in your walk with Christ.
Christmas is so good at just arousing special feelings, nostalgia. There's so many things about Christmas that just always bring a smile to our faces. You know, chestnuts roasting on, you've ever smelled chestnuts roasting on open fire, by the way? If you go to New York City, they have them there, and at first it's not that pleasant, I gotta tell you. But it's very distinct, maybe that's just New York, I don't know. But this passage I just read also just stirs up warm, sentimental, cozy, safe feeling. It conjures up images of kids racing downstairs in pajamas and bathrobes, sitting around a tree, anxiously awaiting to see their gifts. All of these things are good. And just to show you how spiritual I am, this passage we just read, it conjures up to me Linus in the Charlie Brown Christmas. When he steps to the front of the stage and he quotes this passage. I see some of you are as spiritual as I am. I love Christmas. I love all of it. And as 2,000 years has passed, it's still an amazing story. But one of the things that we could miss is the emotion of the story. You just read it, and it's kind of like you read it in two dimensions. But when you think about the layer of emotion, it turns it into 3D. And there's a lot of, well, quite frankly, terror in this story. In the passage we just read, it says the shepherds were sore afraid. I love that line. There was a lot to be sore afraid about. In fact, fear was a theme throughout this nativity and the Christmas story as we come to know it. You've got a teenage pregnancy. I mean, that's scary in any place, anytime, anywhere in the world. That's just a lot of fear. It's just not ready for that. You've got, moreover, Mary, she's carrying not just a baby, but the King of the Jews. Hello, there already was a King of the Jews. And he happened to be the most powerful, ruthless, and insecure leader ever, King Herod. And there's a lot of fear there. Joseph, he was scared. He's not ready to be a dad or a father. And furthermore, this girl he's betrothed to is pregnant by an angel. And an angel actually has to come and comfort him. But there's fear all around the story, of course. They show up to Bethlehem. There's no room in the inn. There's no place to stay. Or maybe even there's just no room for them because of their situation. The wise men, they had come from great distance. They go to Herod and they tell him, hey, we're here to worship the King of the Jews. We followed the star from the east. And here we are. And they're warned later, don't go back to Herod because it could cost you your life. So they don't. Herod then gives the order, don't forget this part of the story. It doesn't show up on a Christmas card, but it just speaks to the whole atmosphere of fear that was there. That Herod issues an edict and he says, in the area of Bethlehem and all around, there's a law, it's genocide. Go find every child, every young boy, 2 years old and younger, and kill him. This is the Christmas story. An angel comes to Joseph and tells him, you've got to flee. Go to Egypt. That's a long place to go in a car. And they don't have cars. They got to travel by donkey. And here they are traveling. They're teenagers. There's so much around the story. Imagine your teenage kids. Imagine them traveling, I don't know, to Dallas in a car with seatbelts and airbags on a nice highway. We would still call them, where are you now? What are you doing? Where are you at? I'm watching you on my phone. I can see exactly where you're at. You know, we understand the nature. There's just fear in the story. There were people, they had the same emotions. It's not like they were just zombies. All of this, it's a long journey. The whole passage is a passage of terror. Angel shows up to Mary. First thing, the angel said, fear not. Angel shows up to Joseph, don't be afraid. Angel shows up to the shepherds, don't be afraid. And those shepherds, think about these guys. What does it say about them? It just says, you know, they were shepherds like they always did. They're just abiding in the field. They're out there every night. Now just imagine 2,000 years ago, there's no electricity, there's no city lights. They were actually very comfortable with darkness. Moonlit, starlit night. They were comfortable with darkness. What they were uncomfortable with would be a strange light in the darkness. Maybe the occasional shooting star, maybe a thunderstorm with lightning in the distance. They were familiar with that. Maybe somebody had fire and a lantern or something, but that was all explainable. But suddenly, out of nowhere, in the midst of the darkness of night, the glory light of God comes and it says, yeah, they were sore afraid, right? They were sore afraid. It means they're more afraid than they've ever been. They feared with a great fear is literally what it means. And what we have is really a theme of the Bible. And it speaks to a much bigger part of the story of Scripture. And it's far, far deeper than just the wonderful feelings that we get from chestnuts roasting on the open fire or all the nostalgia. But let me tell you, it's a far, far better story. This is a rich story. And it's a story that still has the potential to speak to our lives and encourage us till today. The glory light of Christmas is startling. And the angel comes and says to the shepherds, and I think this is the message for us today. Don't be afraid. Behold, great tidings of great joy. Good tidings of great joy. What is he saying? He's saying, okay, on one hand, you've got fear, but behold, there's another way. Yeah, you're feeling this. I understand. Never seen this before. Never went through this before. Didn't experience that. Didn't expect that. And at life, it happens, doesn't it? Where something happens, didn't ask for that to happen. Thought it was a good decision. Now it looks not so good. And there's fear. And the angel came and said, but behold, there's something else. Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. And this is the story of Christmas. If you behold what the angel is saying, you don't struggle with fear so much. If you behold the promise of Christmas, which is all wrapped up in the person of Jesus Christ, it's a marvelous thing. And where does this fear come from, by the way? The fear is just part of the human condition. It comes all the way back. And to me, I see so many parallels here. It's an echo of the ancient story that is so deeply rooted and embedded in all of us, the story of creation. What do you have in creation? You have Adam and Eve placed in the Garden of Eden. What's in the garden? The glory light of God. And the glory light of God doesn't scare them. In fact, it says they walked with God in the cool of the day. They're familiar with the presence of God. There's no fear. They're completely content. And then what happens? All of a sudden, one day, they decide they want to be their own rulers. They want to do things that they want to do. They break the law that God had given them. And now what happens? It changed everything. On that day, the glory of God came. And that day when the glory of God came, they too were sore afraid. Now they're scared. And this is what it tells us in Genesis 3, that the glory, that God came and they hit the dirt. They ran, they hid, they jumped in the bushes, and watch what they did. It says they covered themselves with fig leaves. They hid themselves. Now, they're aware of something, and God says, Adam, where are you? And Adam says, I'm over here. Why are you over there? I was afraid. Never had fear before. Walked with God in the cool of the day before. Now sin entered the story and I'm afraid because I was naked, so I hid. They had been naked and unafraid, completely just bare before God, and it was okay. And now there's insecurities and fears and regrets and shame and all of these emotions, and they're afraid. They're afraid. Of course they're afraid. And it's just interesting to me that they wrap themselves up in God's creation, hiding behind thinking God's glory won't expose them. This is the human condition. We are full of fear at times, and we hide for so many reasons. There's shame, we feel vulnerable, and they hide. Fear is wrapping yourselves up in something and trying to make yourself safe, and we do it in a lot of ways with things that are good. They're gifts of God. There's like a career, a job, and I mean, we all want that. We all want the promise of success or somehow, but there's a difference between thanking God for that, even praying about that, and really wrapping yourself in that and trusting in that. For one thing, if you get it, it doesn't satisfy. It doesn't fulfill what's going on in here. For another thing, you can lose it. It's great as long as it lasts. It's great until you lose it. Or relationships. Well, if I could just get the relationship piece of my life figured out and I could wrap myself in that, well, that's great. But it doesn't always, relationships are messy. They're hard. It takes a lot of work. People die. We could wrap ourselves in the feeling and the aura of success and what we drive or where we live or our looks or our health and these things. And it's all fine. But if that becomes the main thing, those things are all temporary and they don't satisfy the deeper longing in our soul that we were created with. The bottom line is this: is God is light. And when his glory light comes and his truth comes and we get near him, he shatters our self-image. He shatters what we think is important, and he exposes us at times to things that we're really trusting in. And when we get near him, it scares us. Sometimes he exposes my sin. And when he exposes it, it's revealing. It's a fig leaf. The glory reveals how weak we are. Just a sample from scripture. In the Old Testament, one of the largest books is the book of Isaiah. He was a mouthpiece for God. He spoke. He was a prophet of God. But look what happens when he gets near God. He says, woe to me. Woe is me. I'm a man of unclean lips. Well, he was a prophet of God. He was doing pretty good. No, I'm a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips. Or what about Job? Job was so good. He was so righteous that God bragged on him to Lucifer. He was a righteous man, but he got near God and he said, I despise myself. I see myself and I repent with dust and ashes. This is what happens when the glory of the Lord comes. He shows us what we really are. Peter, the disciple, the apostle Peter, I mean, he's the one that Jesus said, upon this rock I build my church, the testament and testimony that he made. But Jesus got near, Peter got near Jesus in this great miracle that he did. And he threw himself down at Jesus' feet, Peter did, and he said, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man. It's interesting, isn't it? And we hid, and they hid. And everyone who gets near their real God, always there's a sense of trauma because of what we really are. So what's the solution? The solution is found, let's go back to that hillside where the shepherds were and see what the angel said. The angel said to the shepherds, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be for all people at all time, for us. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ, the Lord. I'm so glad it says a Savior. You need a Savior. I need a Savior. We need to be saved from all the fig leaves in our life, all the things that we've wrapped ourselves up in and that we're putting our trust in. We got to be saved from this stuff. We got to be saved from our sin-sick souls. We got to be saved. We have a Savior, though, the angel comes and says. And there's such a peace that comes. In fact, the angels that day, as we read, the shepherds, they were encouraged by that angel. Don't be afraid, behold. And then suddenly, I mean, there's a multitude of angels. How many is a multitude? I don't know. The sky is suddenly filled with other angels. You talk about light. And they're singing. And they're singing, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill to men. And these two things go together, glory and peace. Glory and peace. If you want peace on earth, give glory to God. Live under the glory of God. The glory of God speaks of his immeasurable weight, that it bursts our ability to and capacity within us. It's a powerful thing to understand how awesome he is. He's not just a baby in a manger. There's something powerful here. It's awesome. It's a major thing. And to honor Jesus as King is to say, I glorify you. Your goals are immeasurably greater and more significant than my own. And here I've wrapped myself up with fig leaves, but you are so much bigger. Your plans for me are so much more. I love that. glory to God. It's to give significance to him. And it's interesting, isn't it? When Jesus came, there's a small part when the Annunciation happened. The Annunciation is when the angel comes to Mary and Joseph and tells them, this is what's gonna happen. Look at it, and there's a detail here I wanna point out. The angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph this time in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife. She will give birth to a son, and you're to give him the name Jesus, for he will save people from their sins. Again, a savior. And I love this. His name is gonna be Jesus, it says. And it's very clear about this. You're gonna name him Jesus, Yeshua, which means the Lord saves. And what's significant is parents always have the right to name their own kids, right? I mean, I don't know what you did, if you have kids, or some people, they go deep into meaning, and that's great. Some people, it's just kind of how it sounds. My mom used to say, when I was born, you know, they wanted three kids. I was the fourth. I was an accident. Here I am. And so literally I'm born, and the nurse is trying to fill out all the paperwork, and they're like, the kid needs a name. What are you gonna name him? And mom looked at dad looked at mom. And this is what I'm told the nurse said. The nurse looks at me and says, he looks like a Rick. Here I am. A lot of thought went into that. They were just like, I don't know. For 9 months, we've just been thinking we really didn't want this guy. What I love about the story is Mary and Joseph, good news, you're gonna have a son, but you don't get to name him because his purpose is already foretold. He is coming to save people. That's what his name means. You don't name Jesus. Jesus names you. I love it. He will be Savior and he will be Lord. Christianity, it's not just a kind of a self-improvement program that you kind of try on, like a diet occasionally. Well, let's try it here. It's the holidays right now. You know what Christianity is like? Christianity is imagine, okay, you look at yourself, your life, and imagine it's like you're like a house, a small cottage. That's who you are. And you invite Jesus to come in because you've got, well, there's a faucet that drips. Yeah. There's a cabinet door over there. It needs something. It's fallen off. I got issues here. I got a leaky roof. When the wind blows, that window, and you've got issues. And you invite Jesus in and say, I got issues. And he comes in, I got this. And sure enough, you come home from work and, wow, the faucet's been fixed. The doors, wow, it doesn't stick anymore. The drafting, all the things. I mean, he goes to work and it's great. But he doesn't stop there. You come home one day and there's a wall moved. Well, I didn't ask for that. You go to turn on a light, and he's moved the electric, it's over here. And you come home, and he's expanded. Three more bedrooms, what's going on? And then you see the footings outside. He's building towers and a courtyard. Do you see what he's doing? This is what Jesus does. Christianity is, you realize all you wanted him to do was to make you a nice, secure little cottage, and he's turning you into a palace fit for a king. Whoa. There's a lot of change involved. It's called transformation. And when we invite him, he deals with our fig leaves. He deals with our stuff. He sets our priorities straight. And he goes to work on us. And what we soon discover if we lean into it is the vision that we had for ourselves was so small and short-sighted. And he's got such a better vision, such a better plan. And he comes into your life, yeah, he fixes certain things, but then he goes to work. He is not a little kitten to be tamed. He is a lion full of power, and he roars. It's a good thing. Mary and Joseph, good news, gonna have a baby. but you're not going to name him. We got his name. And my prayer for Christmas for us, the people of Palm Valley Church, is that whatever we think of Jesus, that we'd realize in this season, he's bigger. You know, some people, they accept Jesus as a baby. They don't really, maybe all year, don't serve him much, but at Christmas out comes the nativity. Yeah, it's Jesus. Some accept him as a teacher, but I mean, Gandhi was a teacher. Some go so far as to say, no, he is Messiah. Whatever you think of him, he's more than that. The baby in a manger is God. It's God with us. It's huge. This is the story. If you found out today that somebody you didn't even know, some distant relative died and left you $1 billion, how'd you feel? Some of you are like, well, with what I spent at the mall yesterday, it's all gone. How'd you feel? I mean, of course we feel great. But you know this to be true, you can't take it with you. And our life is so short. The Bible says it's like just a wisp of smoke. It's here and it's gone. And that $1 billion isn't gonna buy you love. It's not gonna buy you a fulfillment of life. And yeah, we'd feel good about it, but the greatest story ever that is still going on is that unto you was born a Savior to save us from our sins. That's the story. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I want to read this verse in Isaiah. We know the sixth verse, but the second verse I love. The people who walk in darkness are going to see a great light. For those who live in deep darkness, a light will shine. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Yeah. That's why all these years later, we're still talking about him. Long after we're gone, they will still. I invite you, I want to pray with you, but I invite you, would you stand? Let's all stand together. Some of you here perhaps have never made a decision to receive the gift that is Jesus. You don't receive it by showing up at a church. You don't just receive it because your family is a Christian. It's a decision you make. Somebody hands you something, you have to make a decision. I can walk away. No thanks. Looks good. It's good for you. But you have to make a decision to say, I receive. And we do this by prayer, by asking and inviting Jesus to be our personal Savior, our personal Lord. Come into my house. Fix those things and then have your way in every other place. Would you bow your heads? If you're in this room today and you've never made a decision to make Jesus Christ your Savior, why not settle that question today? He has come to remove all guilt and shame, condemnation, and sin from your life. He's come to heal all of your hurts. It's the good news. It's the gospel of Jesus. And you've never received it as a gift. Settle the question today. I invite you with heads bowed. If you'd say, Rick, remember me today in prayer. I'm going to receive that gift. Would you just raise your hand up high before the Lord and say, that's me today, Rick. That's me. I see you. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Couples, individuals, it's a decision. Yes. Now I invite you, those of you whose hands are raised and those whose aren't, we're going to pray it together. And let's receive this wonderful gift. Come on, church. Heavenly Father, forgive me of my sins. They are many. but I receive you today. Come into my home and make all the changes you want. Be my Savior and be my Lord. May the old things get passed away and may all things become new. You are my Savior today in your name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. That's the greatest thing ever. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
We hope you enjoyed this message today. Don't miss out on next week's teaching. You can subscribe to us on iTunes and keep up to date with what's happening at palmvalleychurch.com.